You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello. Before I start the podcast, we recorded this podcast on a Thursday night, and then on a Friday morning, Escape Hunt, which is the company we talk about in the podcast, released some news. The news was concerning a Netflix launch print and play game. So they've done a deal with Netflix, of course a huge brand, to print and play this game, which is a promotion of a Netflix original film. It's called Enola Holmes. Now, already, Enola Holmes, the trailer for this film, has had 6.8 million views in less than a month. And I did actually tweet out, I said, listen, this is part of the strategy of Escape Hunt, and this is Escape Hunt for Brands proposition, which is quite new. They've done it with the BBC, with Doctor Who. They've done it with now Netflix, two massive brands with big audiences. And this is what differentiates them from other Escape Hunt players in the market. I mean, they are the biggest, they are the market leader. And I said on, I've said in my video that I did recently and on Twitter, I said, there are no market leaders at this valuation, which is 6 million market cap, tiny micro cap, and they have 4 million in cash. So of that valuation, pretty much, you know, there's hardly anything attributed to their operations, the potential of their operations, the consolidation of the industry going forward, the plan, the professionalism of the outfit itself. So that's why I'm just doing a little bit at the start, because if you're wondering why we didn't mention today's news, it's because the podcast was recorded Thursday. Everything in this podcast is not investment advice. Do your own research, please. Thanks for listening.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Peter and Steve, but Paddy's not here. He's played by a silent person. In fact, who knows? Paddy leaves, he joins, probably join halfway through, he leaves halfway through.
Part-time Paddy.
It's part-time Pad. It's like a hop-on-off bus, isn't it? One of those tour buses in London. Mm. You hop on, hop off, you pay your fare, you hop on, hop off. I mean, obviously, you look at the seasons as well, the sights as well. You just hop on and hop off. That's not the attraction. You know, it's not one of the attractions. That's just you can hop on and hop back on, off and on. Have you done one of those?
No, I know what you mean, but no, I have not been one of those tourist buses.
I did one in Cardiff. Barcelona once. and there's this really fun bit where it dips under a bridge and it plays Freddie Mercury in Barcelona. It's quite fun.
Under the bridge? How long is the bridge?
It goes into
that is Freddie Mercury. That's where he's living now. He just lives under the bridge, and he's busking. Barcelona. Oh, it's Freddie Mercury under the bridge. So it's always good to. If I were you, I'd just go on one of those anyway. You know, when you go to a new city, go on one of those. Yeah. Then say, "Oh, I'm going to see that afterwards." And so, just give you a first, a bit of a tip there. Whenever you go to a city, because I find city breaks a bit boring sometimes. But if you go in one of those, it just highlights the interesting bits, and you go.
It depends who you go with.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose. Yeah, I often go on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just do a hop on, hop bus. That's what I do. Anyway, listen, we're recording this on a Thursday night. It's ladies' night, to what a night. Oh, what a night. Cool from Cool and the Gang died the other day, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
I was going to say cool, but that's not
fresh as a fish. Exciting. She's so exciting to me, yeah. I don't know which one it was. It was the main guy, the main Cool. I think Cool. Hello, I'm Cool. This is my gang. What are we going to name the band? We'll just name it Cool and the Gang, shall we? I often thought about that for John Bon Jovi. Hang on, let's go get on to Stocks and Shares now. But was it every time, you think, when the band John Bon Jovi go around, right, and they started practising, and they said, we're getting quite good at this, now all you think of, guys, is a name. Tomorrow night, in band practice, let's all come in with an idea, yeah? John comes in, I got an excellent idea. Bon Jovi. That's your surname, John. Yes, I know, good, isn't it? To be honest, I'm the main guy, isn't it? Really? That's where the ego started there, really, wasn't it? Naming the band after a surname. Anyway.
I've never really thought about it, but is his name actually John Bon Jovi?
Yes, yeah. John Bon Jovi, yes.
Yep.
I think it is,
was he actually born John Bon Jovi?
What it means...
Born John Francis Bon Jovi. Right?
When you think of it, it's Bon is good, Jovi is happy, I suppose good happy. John's always good and happy, you know. John Bon Jovi.
The spelling, it was all one word. It was B-O-N-G-I-O-V-I.
Yeah, I think it's Bon Giovanni. Bon Giovanni, isn't it?
Yeah,
right? But John Bon Giovanni. Let's have a look. John Bon Jovi. Before we get into the stocks, we're recording this on a Thursday because, professionally known as John Bon Jovi. it says John Francis Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Thursday night, because we're going camping again. Camping! Because we got a nice little campsite down the road there. It's about 30 minutes drive away. That's the ideal, because then you can do the 5-day weather forecast or 7-day weather forecast. Book it. There's no deposit. They're a lovely little family down there. And they bring around the fires. The best part is the evening, where you can have a barbecue and fire and eat lots and drink lots. But the kids love everything else. So we thought it was the last one of the year. And we bought a bit of camping kit. I don't know why. It's like I said, what happens is you try and make it as comfortable as your house, basically. You realize before you know it, you've invested so much in camping kit. You hated it because you want to make it comfortable, but you have to go just get your value for money, you know? It's a sunk cost. It's like investment, you know? You've got to get your value for money. It's like sometimes people pile more into shares or going down and down. That's what I'm in anyway now, up to my waist. I might as well get up to my neck, you know? So anyway, so Friday, I don't know what's going to happen Friday. Maybe big news out on the stocks we own. But this week, first of all, we're going to escape. In fact, did I say this? You boys are coming down next weekend, right? And I said, what should we do? And I just said before, it's like escape rooms are another option. That's why I invest in Escape Hunt. They are a market leader, and I think sub 6 million with 4 million cash, that's a bargain. In a couple of years' time, they'll be a lot higher than this, and you can think, I could have bought that at a low level. I could have taken part. I could have been a business owner. There's only two ways of being rich in life, really. Two ways. Two ways of being really rich, apart from winning a lottery. That's be a business owner or own a share of a business, a big share. And did you see that actually this week?
Be like a world famous sports star, rock star.
For the normal. I said lottery, Steve. You're not listening again. You're like my son, Steve. Monty at the moment. My son Monty is not listening.
It exploded.
At all. Yeah. But rock star for normal people. You know. So did you see this week the Hut Group?
Yes.
So listed, it shot up by 25%, big company, but the owner made him a billionaire, pretty much, 1.2 billion. He's 48. But Terry Levy, or Lord Terry, or Sir Terry Levy, who's ex of Tesco's boss, he sold all his stock on the IPO. That's the way you make money, see, even before he gets to the market, pre-IPO. He sold all his stock, made £17 million.
Wow.
See? So either own a big chunk of a business or own a business. That's it. And so Escape Hunt, it's only valid at sub 5 million. You could own a decent chunk of that. You could, I don't know how much money you got, but a couple of percent of that, if you chuck a bit, of, you know, a few quid in.
A couple of percent, 100 grand.
Yeah, well, how much is it? Well,
I'm not going to put 100 grand into an escape.
160 grand, right? 18 million shares, 160 grand, you could own 2% of the company. So what I'm saying is, and it's going to be a market leader. And do you see the video I did?
I did, actually, yes.
Right, and you guys coming down next week, and I said to you at the start of the week, Mrs. looked it up, So let's go to an escape room. The closest one to me was fully booked already. There's one in Southampton, which is a small chain. There's about three or four of them they've got. I think it's four they've got. But that's doing very well as well. It's got excellent reviews. It's called the Houdini Experience. There was only three slots left, I think, last week. That was like 10 a.m., 5:30, or 8 p.m., or 8:30 p.m. And you didn't get back to me. I said, you guys, they're busy, you know? Come on. And you didn't get back to me.
Is your wife as excited as you are? Can I just ask?
Yes, she loves it.
You sure?
Yeah.
And she loves escaping.
Well, no, you can't now. It's fully booked. It's booked again. And even Steve said, his mate. Now, escape rooms, they don't just do escape rooms. They're doing other things as well. They're doing AR outside. What was that game that was went mad people a while back? AR game where you've...
Actual reality?
Yeah, the game was, yeah. But what was it called? The game where you went... It was a Pikachu. Was it a Pikachu thing?
Pokemon,
yeah. Live AR Pokemon. People went mad for that, didn't they, recently? Yeah. And they got games...
Augmented reality, Steve.
Augmented reality, yeah. So they've got games like that as well. They've got download and playable games at home. But, like I said, they're going to be... escape rooms have exploded. It'll be like bowling 20 years ago where lots of people, independents, will go by the wayside. You get a good few companies sweeping up the rest. Escape Hunt at the moment are the market leader. They'll extend their lead. Their margins get better. Their products are best. So, it'll just, guys, you can own a big chunk or a nice little chunk, you know, of a small company right now. And if it dips, I'll buy more. I'm happy to buy more because they've got 4 million in cash. They're going to last. And whether it's going to happen, the lockdown is going to happen even further, it may do. The Welsh, Steve, you Welsh, you're not washing at all, are you? You're not washing your hands or anything. Or you're not social distancing, you're kissing each other and not washing your brushing your teeth. Are you locked down yet, Steve?
No, Cardiff is fine.
Is it Dirty Valleys for you, people in the valleys?
It's a classic example of the media blown out of proportion, just certain areas.
Well, in fact, my parents have been locked down. My father's going to come and see me. I said, you can't, Dad. I said, why's that? He said, you're locked down. Oh, am I? I said, yeah.
What are you seeing?
He's in Caerphilly, isn't he? County of Caerphilly.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I said, no, Dad. I said, you dirty Welsh are spreading all the viruses, isn't you? And I saw someone on the news tonight from Rhonda Cullen Taff got a COVID, C19, right? COVID on a bus. And they just see people acting like it's normal. They just go in, having a bet, having a pint. Don't care about COVID. That's what she was like. My Megan like, stopped listening. I stopped talking to her mother on the phone and listened to this woman talk. She couldn't believe it. She said, "Car," and she said, "Is she a bit thick?" I said, "Yeah."
You know.
Yeah. But honestly, there are people in the valleys. And they are in the dark ages up there, aren't they? Just getting electricity and stuff. So, you know. So anyway, so what I'm saying is, it may threaten, a couple more lockdowns may threaten escape. But I think I don't know whether they're going to do a trading update before the interims, but I think they're doing better than people think. I think people think they're locked down, not doing any business. But let's be honest, their business model is suited to this. Small groups of people, six strangers, but six is plenty, you know? Six is plenty. You can go in there, sessions of six, get in there, try and escape. Have you seen Instagram? They're very good. It's a professional company. Have you seen the artwork on Instagram?
It's a professional company.
No, it is, though. Have a look at it. I mean, even the website, everything looks good, you know? The shareholders are big.
Right.
I mean, it looks like a proper company. I mean, the Instagram art is very good. It's you know, it's well done, you know? They've also got a guy doing social media that's very experienced and has got, you know, Photoshop down to T there. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. It's just there's probably question marks over the profitability, isn't there?
I don't know if you watched the video. It's fantastic, my video. Did you see that?
I did watch it, yeah.
Steve, did you watch it?
I'll watch it next week.
No, thanks very much for that. Why next week, Steve? Are you busy the rest of this week?
I've just
got to
put it in my diary, haven't I?
You've got to put it in your diary. Right, let's have a look. Today, a man coming round to finish the trim on my porch.
He didn't turn up.
Steve, I mean, are you doing a lot better in stocks and shares than we realise? You've bought these new sort of AI cameras that the BBC have. You've got a fully electric door that opens up when someone coughs or whatever.
That's not working very well.
No.
Is it not? Is that smart door not so smart?
Yeah, well, it's not opening as I walk up to the door, which is a bit disappointing. it means I've got to press a button on my watch to open it, which is very annoying.
How inconvenient.
Steve. So you walk towards it, and it sends out a Bluetooth, is it, or what is it?
Yeah, Bluetooth, yeah.
Bluetooth signal to your phone, that reacts, and then it opens it for you, but it's not doing it, is it?
No.
That's because you've got those lead pants on, probably, that's emitting no signal. What kind of materials are you wearing? Pants, or it's Kevlar?
Kevlar pants, that's right, yeah. Very strong.
No, but do they say you could wear... I know you like to wear... You know, he's quite flashy with his trousers, Steve, and his shorts. What kind of materials are you wearing? Maybe that's blocking the signal, is it?
Yeah.
maybe it trimmed down there. I don't know. Maybe that's... I don't know. You know?
Right, good point.
That's less... Surely that's less secure than just having a normal key, because someone just walks you to the door and the door opens, don't they? A robber?
Yeah, but if you had a normal traditional key, someone could do the same anyway.
They couldn't find your key there, so they can't find your key. So you got a bunch of keys.
Where'd you hide your keys?
You got a massive bunch of keys, didn't you? 1,000 keys on it, say. You imagine the robber having to go through all that. You say, I'm not telling you which key it is. It's this one. I'm not telling you. It's this one. I'm not telling you. See, that way, it takes a bit of time. And by the time you get through all your keys, maybe the neighbour would notice this guy is shuffling through your keys at your front door. Maybe that would happen. But with a smart door, he just walks up the door, in he goes. That's not very smart at all, is it?
Not really, no.
How do we get from escape?
I don't know. Onto the stocks and shares?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, yeah. So, if you looked at the video, that's what it was, Steve's diary. If you looked at the video, there was the broker there, what are they called? Zeus Capital, done three scenarios. Pessimistic, and in fact, I'll get it for you now. I'll just pull it up for you. Pessimistic and base case and optimistic and even pessimistic. What they'll do in about a year's time is get a debt funding, 1.5 million. That's all you need. So they won't go back to the market. No dilution. No more fundraisers. No more equity fundraisers. They'll just do buy debt because they can, because they're earning money, the revenue. It's a traditional business, you see. That's why most companies, like mining companies, all that, can't do it via a bank because they haven't got a business. They've got a revenue. They're in a business. They have to do it by equity. So they can do that. So it's no risk. I see very little risk here. Honestly, I mean, the further the share price goes down, less risk at the moment, more reward. So I'll buy more. I'll just buy more. That's what I'll do.
Okay.
But hang on, Steve, you even said your friend's got he's doing a mobile escape. I don't know how that works. He's doing a mobile escape room. What did you say about busyness?
They're set up in a pub at the moment, so they can move. They'll move to a different venue after a month or two. He said he's sold out for the next couple of weeks.
This is ideal business for this kind of environment.
Yeah,
oddly, it sort of works. We're trying to escape COVID to 2020, and we are in an escape room within an escape room, and it sort of works, you know. So,
I just can't put my finger on it. And do you know what? Even if it starts flying up by bagging, I'm not going to regret. I just didn't feel it. So yeah, I'm quite happy to watch from the sidelines and watch you make lots of money.
No, what I'm saying is, right, let's be honest. Is it a 10 bagger? It's an easy double, I think. And then you just, if you want, then you sell off and let it ride. I just see it's a professional outfit, and the franchise they've got is very encouraging. They've got already, they're earning decent money from the franchise, and it's the opposite of capital. It's not intensive at all, because they get paid by the franchisees to use their games and all that stuff, their IP, their Doctor Who stuff and all that stuff. So they can do that. So they get paid for that, and then they get recurring revenue from that. So it's very good. But Thursday was very odd. I tried to buy... The share price, the market makers dipped it a little bit, so I thought, I'll buy this now. I couldn't buy anything. I couldn't get a quote on a bean. Nothing at all. And yet you could sell. So I said, there's somebody needing stock here. But you could sell, but you couldn't really buy. And so I don't know what happened. It froze for like hours. A bit more volume later, but I just couldn't buy it, and I wanted to buy more. So I'm happy to buy more. You know, I'm not overexposed to it yet, so... I'm happy to buy a lot more. I just think it's one of the things at the moment. It's the highest quality business I know at this level with that much cash that I can see a ramp out, a roll up, you know, a business plan to grow. And let's be honest, the figures they had from their sites are growing. They've got very good growth. Growth is what it's all about, guys. Growth is everything. You want to, you've got to pay for
it. With the restrictions and the the uncertainty of it, but then there will always, well, for the foreseeable future, be restrictions on numbers and all the, you know, space, social distance, all that stuff. Even factoring that in, will they be, you know, profitable? Yes, they'll be profitable. How profitable? How do we value that? I don't know.
Well, the good thing is as well, they're not in one place, are they? They're all around the country. Ten venues now. They've opened Norwich as well now. 10 venues, all right? So, of course, one or two will take a hit maybe from different areas. Yeah. But they're going to keep expanding that. So the more diversified they'll be, the more EBITDA they're earning, the more cash they're generating, the more they can open.
Yeah.
So
How much can each site make a day?
Well, no, a year, it's about $500,000 a year.
Is that maximum capacity?
Well, that's the average about. The bigger one, Birmingham, will make more than that.
That's
profit. Yeah. No. So it's in cash, EBITDA, they're talking about 150K a year in EBITDA, that's earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization. So yeah, that's pretty much how much they make in cash, 150 grand a year. So and of course, you know, I did on the. If you saw the video, Steve, I said the hardest thing for a small business to do is go for, especially these escape hunt rooms, is go from one to two. Because when you're at one, for example, like I said, it'll take what? How many years? 3.5 years, pretty much, of EBITDA to have enough money to open the second one. And of course, once you've got two, then it's a lot easier, or three, it's a lot easier than to open. I think it takes like 6 months of EBITDA. If you own three, then it only takes 6 months of EBITDA to open one more, because obviously you generate more cash. Well, that's the benefits of scale and leverage, you see. Once you've got 10, which they have now, of course, they can open, what is it? They can open, what, four or five in a year, if they want to. So if they want to do that, if they see a market that, you know, is demand there, they'll go. They'll just open up anywhere. They're gonna have, and like I said, right now they're having landlords at, you know, high footfall, high quality destinations approach them, which they couldn't afford before COVID. They were, you know, just out of town areas they were going for, which the rent was a bit cheaper. Now those landlords are coming towards them, like high footfall, like maybe, you know, good shopping centres where there's lots of bars, restaurants. They're having landlords approach them because their tenants, you know, tenants are in trouble and leaving. So if anything, that'll help. So they can, but like I said, they only do it where there's demand. They're not going to just chuck it into places where they can't, you know, get sort of customers and stuff. They can't generate cash. So that's good. So I just think it's very cheap. Very cheap. Name another company with $4 million in cash. And they're valued at, what, sub $6 million? And they've got a growth path here. That's going to do very well in the next, you know. Don't think about now 6 months, right? We're going to have a vaccine next month. There'll be a vaccine out. There will.
Yeah.
They've been mentioned on CNBC. There's Dr. Scott Gottlieb and a couple of guys from Big Pharma's. They're likely to be a vaccine out in October.
Yes.
And then obviously, it's just share that around the world, or to the, you know, vulnerable groups of people that need it first. It'll take a while, yes, but I think when we get that news that there's a vaccine from a big pharma and it's been, you know, it's safe, it's an efficacy as well.
Steve, he means pharmaceutical company, not pharma.
Yeah, not a pharma. They're not working on it. They're not. They haven't diversified.
No, oh, right.
I'm not selling much sheep, so I decided to go into this vaccine race.
I'll get COVID.
Because I see everyone else is going for it, you know. You said obviously a lot of money in it, so I'll try and go in the sheds and try.
I'll grow a COVID vaccine.
I'll knock up a vaccine. Everyone else is doing it, don't they?
Yeah.
So, no, a pharma company, I mean, not a pharma. But, so I think once that happens, once that's announced, I think that'll be a huge lift, sentiment-wise, a positive lift, because we think, at last, we've got something now that can sort of deal with this. I mean, of course, I mean, highly effective at start, because they're air on the side of safety, but it's got to be, it's got to be effective in some way.
And
so I'm thinking, just look down 2 years down the road here, guys, that's what I'm saying. 2 years down the road, right, you may see dips right now, but it's a hold up at least 12 months, maybe 2 years, and I think we'll look back on this and say, God, that was cheap, Justin, you were right there. I'm kicking myself. I am absolutely, I was so short-term thinker there. That's like Steve this week on ClearStar.
Steve,
do you remember
you
that?
Were right.
That was hilarious on ClearStar. What did Steve say? So ClearStar had an offer from a different company we bought it.
Yes.
It was a crap offer. We were 40 pence. Luckily, I'd averaged down. And so I was only about 13% down, I think. And so the offer was still, I was still making a small profit. I said, Steve, what are you doing? Steve said, do you still hold XPD? I said, no. What? I said, are you serious, Steve? Well, hang on a sec. What's all this stuff about holding stocks and not trading them? We've been in a trader now, aren't we? I said, what are you talking about? XPD, I held it for a year, and I said...
You didn't, because you bought it, XPD, when we did the last live podcast, which was...
A year ago,
actually, wasn't it? Yeah.
I sold it just before the pandemic started kicking things.
So you held it for sale for 6 months, probably.
But let's be honest. And I said,
which is like a year for you.
Yeah, so, and I said...
But you didn't tell me you sold it.
So I did! Pete knew about it. Everyone else knows about it, but I'm new.
Pete, did he tell you about it?
I haven't got a separate WhatsApp group, Steve, that would just be me and Pete, that we just don't tell Steve. It's called Don't Tell Steve, the WhatsApp group.
I am actually going to start that now.
Yeah. And so I did. I said, listen, the reason why I sold is because we're going into a pandemic, and they are a logistics company, freight and all that. They get freight gets knocked, the demand will go down, they get knocked. So I'm going to tell you. So anyway, Stephen, you've only had it a month. I said, what are you talking about, XPD? I said, to him a year ago. I said, Stephen, I said, you still thinking about ClearStars when that? He said, I don't understand. I said, but don't mind changing the ticker because you don't understand. Are you talking about CLSL? CLSU or XPD, because they're not even similar sounding tickers. Steve, his research relies on tickers and he's getting them mixed up.
That was a confusing WhatsApp conversation that was going on there.
That's very clear what I was talking about.
But it doesn't.
And I could see from the sidelines what you both were talking about, and I knew you were talking about different companies.
But it doesn't come any clearer than Steve's research of just knowing a ticker, and then he got his tickers messed up.
Annoyingly, XPD went into profit the other day when we were talking about it. So I was like, great, I'll sell that, but not that very second. And then when I went back to it today, I think it's down by like 10%.
Honestly, again, they'll be fine. They got growth ambitions, new CEO in as well. And like I said, when the freight and logistics pick up, demand picks up, it'll do very well. I just thought it's going to take a while. That's why I thought I don't want to sit there with my underwater for a while. So that's why I sold. So, ClearStar, yes, but I don't understand, Steve said. And so, essentially, what they did, this company came in, offered them cash offer of 40 pence per share, or there's some other deal on the table. They won, but the board of ClearStar are advising shareholders to go with it. You know, all they can do is advise and say, we would accept this offer. We put it to you. It's a good offer. I don't think it's a good offer, really. I was expecting a good return over the next couple of years or so, a good return. I thought, why are they selling? So anyway, I just dumped the lot that day or so. No, I haven't got any patience with that. I'm going to wait for my 40 pence
like
a share
17
offer.
Or I was like 18% down. You know, it was welcome news because, you know, I got back to break even and got a couple of percent up. And I was like, yeah, might as well get out now. So
Yeah. So
it's good because I got my... It's not been a great one to be involved in. But there we are.
And it's going to take a lot longer. I thought it's turning around. That, you know, the 11 million jobs have been created since the height of the redundancies in America. So, you know, it's good for them because they're in that area. And I thought this is going to turn around this and that. But maybe, I don't know why they sold. I don't know why they sold for that. Again, obviously they have stock a lot lower than that because they own stock. They're founders. So their stock is probably, you know, like a penny or something.
They've done well.
Yeah, so that was quite annoying, I thought. Really is. But there we are. Do you know what, though? I thought I don't mind having some more cash at the moment. In the portfolio, so
I said last week, I'm trying to reduce the number of stocks I'm holding, and so I'm in a position where I've got larger chunks in a smaller number, so that helped back. I've got one of my sold out completely off my portfolio, so
and Plarin all-time high, it's good, isn't it? I don't know if you saw that, I posted that on Twitter. There was medical university in Canada has been given funding to look at the long-term effects of COVID on the lungs of the survivors or people who have suffered with it. They're going to look at people who've had it from, you know, extreme cases of it to people who haven't been affected so much. And Plarin's tech is going to help them with that. It's the most advanced tech in the world for looking at lungs and pulmonary function, all that stuff. And so... You know, already, like I said, America spends $150 billion on pulmonary disease in the US. And Pelerin Tech is the best for analysing gas exchange, look at lung structure, lung function, everything. So to me, it's a no-brainer, and they're an all-time high. And like I said, if you look at it, it's at least, I'd say, you know, between five and we could even say 10, I don't know, but at least five bags from here. Because Steve said, no, I'm not going to sell, because if you look at the guys behind this as well, like I said, the chairman even, it was a big chunk of stock, sold his last company to Bracker, which is a big company, for $450 million. Now Bracker are now a shareholder of Polarian, because see what's going on here, and this has a wider application. It's more commercial than his last, the thing he sold. So you can see it, you're starting off at a minimum of $450 million. It's probably more than that. Probably maybe, you know, now with COVID, like I said, the value's gone up even more because, you know, it affects the lungs. And so people want to know, you know, what the real effect is of COVID, so and how to treat those people. So it's going to become even more valuable, I think. But like I said, do you know what? You can look at, like I said, sometimes you look at stock and you think, oh, no. Even if you've got cash sometimes, you think, oh, like Escape Hunt, you think, oh, I don't know where it's going to go from here. But sometimes a milestone can be miles off, and it depends on the stock. You know, if there's no stock available, and you get a little bit of news, or people thinking about it, doing research, and they buy up the sellers, that stock can keep rising, and keep rising before you know it. You know, way off from any massive milestone. I mean, let's be honest, Polarian, the next milestone is them submitting their new drug application to the FDA. And that's not a huge, you know, all they do is hand in a bit of, you know, a 1,000-page document in, pretty much. So, you know,
and we should get that this month, is that right?
Yeah, Q3, they say, yeah. So yet, even though we think the awarding of a license, you know, by the FDA would be a year away, it's rising already. I mean, I think by that time, obviously, it's a little bit higher. And that's why I think you can't, you know, get in while it's cheap. I mean, it's hard to buy a stock when it's going down. It really is. But that's the time to buy it, when it's cheap. I can't see Escape Hunt going a lot lower. If it does, it gets cheaper. I mean, in my mind, it's ridiculous cheap already.
That's right. Yeah, if stock goes down, it gets cheaper. That's correct.
Yeah, but the valuation is cheaper. And when you got say $4 million of cash, and how cheap are they don't get sub cash? Surely they can't do that. You're not attributing any value to their business or their potential.
So well, if it does get down to that, me, Paddy, and Steve will all buy and be like, "Hey, just."
It'll be.
I don't think I'd even if it plummeted down to one penny. I don't think I'd even buy
you
it.
You have to just because.
What are you talking about, Steve? If you were trying to one penny, right? You'd be nuts not to. You're talking about a seven bagger on just on cash or five bagger just on cash. Yeah. You can't just say no.
I can.
This will be it'll be like the Hollywood Bowl of Escape, but it'll be better than that because it'll be more flexible, lower cost base. It'll be more profitable, honestly.
Is there any business that combines escape rooms and bowling?
Yeah, no. Well,
yeah, I'll invest in them.
Yeah. Escape
I'm in.
Bowl.
Okay, yeah. I'll sit on the sidelines and watch Escape Hunt for a bit.
Now, another thing I know...
Are you not going to buy that, Pete? Because I thought you said you were going to try and get in.
I'm waiting until the price is a lot lower than what Justin's gone in at. So that I can be...
Guys, this will be a guarantee, right? I'll see it 15 pence. It depends on what their trading update or their interim's about. I think they've done a bit more business than people think. And then, of course, if it dips, I'll buy some more of them, happy. But I think it'll be like the day where you can't buy any stock. And I was telling you before, when people are selling, buy their stock. Yeah. It's like someone coming to the market one day, you know, and saying... I've got five bananas to sell, and there's like 20 people want bananas. You know, think, oh, okay, that's when you want. That's when you what happens is the share price is not rising. But you know, when that guy comes to the market a couple of days back, he came there with 10 bananas, and you know, it was like you there. He thought, oh, should I buy all those bananas? Because I don't really need all those bananas, but I know there'll be more people there tomorrow. You should buy all those bananas and come back with him next day, and you can sell them double the price.
Yeah, rotten.
No, they won't mean rotten.
What?
No. Yeah. They're very green when you're selling them. Very green, like the people not
just
buying.
Like you. Yeah.
Yeah. And
okay, well let's see. It'll be interesting.
You want to take stock off people. You don't want everyone fighting for a little bit of stock when it starts rising. People, the average private investor, right? Only buy rising stocks, chase hot stocks. Like the hottest stocks are the COVID stocks. People believe it's going to the moon. These COVID stocks, and do you know what? They're not a lot of them for testing. We'll only have it's a small window. It's like Novacyt is the king of testing. I don't know if you saw Novacyt, phenomenal results. Literally, they've done a 20, 30, 40 bagger or whatever. But they come up with half year results this year, right? They did a 10 times uplift in their revenue for half years. So gone like from 7 to 70,000 euro. And they've gone from a 1.2 million euro loss last time to this year, a 40 million profit in 6 months. Now, they are the king of testing. That's anti-gen testing. That's telling you whether you have COVID right now. All these people are now ramping up these stocks of antibody testing. I think they're going to be huge. Yeah. There's so many players in the market now, and Novacyt has done it. They're the king of the testing market. And like I said, most people are chasing shares now. They probably, you know, the clever money has been made on that stock, on those stocks, pretty much. It's been done. If you people listen, they say, no, it hasn't. It's got a 10 bag. No, no, it won't. It won't become a £2 billion company. It won't. Yeah. Whatever they are, if they're valued at 200 million now, it's not. The bigger it gets, the harder it gets to double. The clever money's been made, and that's why most people chase the hype, chase the hot stocks, don't make that much money. The time to get in is when no one's actually talking about it. It's quiet. That's what Escape Hunt is right now. In a couple of months' time,
15, 20, talking about quite a lot.
Exactly. In 15, 20 pence, right? That's when you think, oh, I just bought that at 7.5 pence. I like that. Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
No, at 15p, I'd be like, oh, I'm glad I got in there at 6p.
Do you see our townie, Sir Richard, on the podcast?
Yes, very good.
Yeah. No, funding. Because I saw someone say on, he sold his Salt Lake products the other day. He said, oh, I can't handle the constant dilution here. He said, I thought, well, hang on, that's it. You know, the most expensive part in the development of this company was getting to, you know, starting the first project. You know, it's like building a mine, it costs a lot of money. You know, to get all the process works, to process all that stuff out of there, you know, the sulfur products, costs a lot of money to go in the ground there, from creating sort of electricity, building the site, you know, to water, environmental permits, all that kind of stuff, you know, kind of environmental impact licenses and bankable feasibility studies. All that's been done. The debt funding's got, they've got all the equity fundraising has been done. And Tony said, no, the plan is now, that's it. You know, we start generating cash. In 6 months' time, I know one thing. I know the share price will be higher in this company. You know, I don't know when it'll start rising, but we've got 6 months until they start producing cash. And so, I don't know. Let's place bets on it. Steve, when do you think the share price in SO4 will breach 30 pence? Because we're at 28 now. When do you think that'll happen? No, in fact, it's pretty higher. I think it's going to break 40 pence, right? When do you think it'll breach 40 pence? And I'll write this down now, and we'll have it.
40 or 30?
40. 40. When do you think? How long? Because it will do it. It will do it. And it'll be, will it be, do you think, in the next 3 months? Or 3 months after that? Or 3 months after they start producing?
Name a month.
Okay, well, this is a total guess because I haven't got a clue, obviously.
none of us have, Steve. That's the wonder of stocks and shares. That's the wonder of you. Go on.
Let's go with...
Where nobody else can understand you. Where are you? You give me hope. March, right? That's the start of production. Cool. Could be there. Peter, give me a month.
I'm going to go January.
January for Pete. Paddy, give me a month. I got February.
Thanks, Pad.
Where's Pad? You had another class today. Is it Jane Fonda Calisthenics or Jim?
Yeah, probably.
Or Olivia and John, let's get physical.
Yeah, body pump.
Yeah, body pump. Bums and tums. Oh, come on, bums and tums, guys.
Yeah.
I'll go with December then. I think we've got over 40 pence in December for that. I'll text Paddy.
I think I said around the time of the whole fundraise and all that was the price is going to be suppressed for the short term because of the whole debt funding and the retail offer that wasn't oversubscribed completely taken up. That people, you know, everyone that could have got in kind of got in, and so the price we're at now, which is the retail offer price around 27.5p. You know, you're not going to get loads of new buyers in, are you? At this, because everyone could have.
People buy when the stock rises. People, that's, you know, that's the thing. So when it starts to rise,
other lakes will stimulate that, won't it?
Yes, they'll do that. Well, he said that, didn't he? So they're already working on that, and they realise, hang on a sec, we've got this lake pretty much as a bagger, and then you've got, you know, they're going to get up to three lakes, a million tons of SOP. which will take him to whatever. So 250 is 444 million of EBITDA. So yeah, we're talking, you know, three to five bags on three legs, depending on, you know, sentiment really. But no, so that's momentum. You see, that's why momentum happens. No one can price in momentum, because once a stock starts to rise, people start buying. The stock rises, people are buying more. And say, I don't want to miss out. So people are buying more, stock rises, people are buying more. And so that's why when you get stock prices over, you know, get overbought and get oversold. And so you just got to, you know, try and time that. Don't buy the over. Just when it's oversold, wait for a little bit to come around a bit, then start buying. So that's that. Talk about milestones, C4XD. December payment probably with a milestone, just over 2 months away. Again, that'll start rising towards that, I assume. I sort of see it. I've got 9 stocks. That's all I'm going to have now. I've got my 9. I haven't mentioned what I've got. I've got Roslyn Data. Let's have a look. Yes. So these are stocks I'm going to say. Gfinity, C4X Discovery, Roslyn Data, Salt Lake Potash, Escape Hunt, Symphony Environmental, Polarian, and I've got one other I'm not going to talk about. I've told you guys about it. I don't think you've bought in anyway, have you? You didn't buy an Escape Hunt. Thanks, guys. You know, thanks to them. But no.
Have you told us about it?
Yeah, there's other stock I've told you about.
What's the ticker?
Yeah. But I'm not going to mention it. Until I see maybe a dip in the share price and I feel like it's
what
a good
it
level.
What did it start with?
I'm not telling you. Naughty little boy.
All right. Okay.
We talked about it, though, and we've had discussions about it. Paddy got really anal about it. Because. But he is, isn't he? That's what he is.
Is it not environmentally friendly?
No, it's not that. Steve, I often wonder, do you actually read any of the WhatsApps? Or halfway through our WhatsApp discussion today, Steve just posted an orange.
Very rarely.
An orange. Why do you post an orange, Steve?
Yeah. It was the first emoji that came up, so I just thought I'd pop that on a few.
Thanks for that.
I could not work that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone about oranges the other day, and obviously it comes up my favourites, and I thought, well, that'll do.
You've nailed this.
So we were all talking about a stock, and Steve just felt he had to contribute something. So yeah. I thought, well, you know, I'll just give an orange.
It's like a brick on Anchorman.
Yeah. So it is a bit like a brick on Anchorman, yeah.
Essentially, is us, really. You're Ron Burgundy, Eastwick. I don't know. Paddy's champ, the sports guy, yeah. And I'm the other guy. That is it, actually. There we go. Yeah, okay, break.
Anything else? So yeah, I may reveal that when I guess the chart is a bit high on that one at the moment, a bit hot, and until I see something that when the chart comes cools off, I say, right guys, now yeah. I only ever talk, I try whenever I ever talk about stocks, right, I would never do videos on stocks where the share price has risen massively or spiked out, because that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't buy, you know. So I only try and ever cover a stock and do a video on it when hopefully it's at a decent level, because that's all about investing, you know. The price is essential, so you can do all the fundamental research you want to, but if it's risen by like 100% in the last month, there's a good chance there's a good pullback, and you could be sitting on a loss for a long time. So timing is also of the essence, you know. It's very important. So at the moment I want it to cool off a little bit and then say, okay, I think this is a good area to buy in.
Can you talk, you know, you're gonna have 9 stocks, or you've got 9 stocks now.
Yeah.
That is you now, is it? 9 stocks until when?
And ever, like, that's it. I've discovered this. That's my perfect amount, because I've got 9 stocks and a fund.
Are you gonna add to those stocks as and when, if they drop or whatever?
So some of them I don't have anything below 5 cent exposure. I've got some on 10%, maybe 11, one on 11, one on 12, maybe. But some at around about 7, you know. So I've got a decent chunk. I've got about, how much? I've got about 15% of cash. So,
right. And but then when the next, you know, Escape Hunt comes along.
I'm not. That's it. Do you know what? Right. All I'm going to say is I've got what I got there is some cracking stocks. I've got some 100 baggers amongst them, right? and the mystery stock. And there's some good baggers there.
Which of those are realistically going to be 100 baggers?
C4XD.
No,
I understand. Right, there's two, right? There's Salt Lake Potash.
This time next year, there'll be the same hole.
Salt Lake Potash could be a 10 bagger at least, with all those lakes. They've got the and they're going to be taken out, and a big company could buy them up, you know?
Yeah.
And that could be that. And they've got, you know, Tony's saying, Tony is now basically cash flow dividends. That's what he wants to go towards. And that will attract bigger buyers and bigger funds and all that stuff. And so you get momentum into that. And you've got a whole, you know, nine lakes there they can develop if they want to. But the mystery stock, I think, has got a massive potential. It's a big market, very big commercial market. And yeah. it's a disruptor. And yeah. The other one it's disrupting is how many times bigger than it? It's like 100 times bigger than it. Yeah. So they have to, even if they do a tenth of it, it's like more than 10 bagger. You know, I think literally, Gfinity, for example, 30 million market cap, that's three times. So I don't, I mean, what kind of return are you looking for? What I'm saying is, I don't see, you can look for bright, shiny things, but the grass is always greener. Sometimes you have to water the grass on your side of the fence, you know?
I love the way you're trying to get out of that.
No, what I'm saying is I have decent investments and still lots of big potential returns within my investments. If one shock goes up like 100% overnight, I may trim and then I've got a bit of cash and I can put it back in if it comes back to a nice level. So I'm going to play around within my... and just stay within the neighbourhood, you know? And stay within my portfolio. I'm not going to... Of course, if I see a better opportunity than one I've got, than the ones I've got there, I may swap one out. But I'll try and stick to nine stocks. And at the moment, I'm happy with that. I'm topping up on little stocks. I see little dips. I tried to do an escape hunt. I couldn't because there was no stock available. So what's going on there? It's ridiculous. You could buy, at one point, I went out at 70 quid, and you could buy that. They gave me a quote on 70 quid. I don't have my 70 quid. But I couldn't buy Grand. I went down from, like, where did I get from? Normally, I was 100,000 shares of buying tranches. And I went down to literally 50,000, 25,000, 20,000, 10,000. And in the end, I thought, what's the point of this? This is nuts. Couldn't buy any stock whatsoever. And so, that's all right. I'm happy with the portfolio I've got. You know, the riskiest one, the one at the moment is, you know, if anything, I think, it's a bit risky. I've really broke my rules. It's C4XD because they've got no route to profitability there, really. And part of that is annoying. But, like I say, if they sign one licensing deal, that'll make them profitable. And they've got a milestone payment coming up in December. And let's be honest, their IP is phenomenal. So it's quite the potential unlock of value within C4XD is very big, but it's just taking a long time, you know. Steve, how many stocks do you? That's all nine. If I ever, you know, go above that or start buying another one now, just tell me. If I give a tip now, you said nine. I say okay.
Rule of nine.
You've got to sell one. You've got to sell one of the other stocks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I will.
Anything else happening? Steve, anything happening in your life?
Not really, no. I've got a quiet weekend, so not much to really report there.
Okay.
That's fair to say. And how's your porch trim coming on?
As I say, the builder didn't turn up, so that's a bit disappointing.
Hang on a second. What do you mean?
What about your porch trim?
I was going to say, is it porch trim or porch trim? You misspell that on WhatsApp.
It's porch, yeah.
What do you mean, porch trim? What do you mean, you haven't go faster stripes for it? What do you mean? What have you done?
Well, it was all rotten, the wood, so I've had it all replaced with UPVC.
Oh, I see.
So, sexy time.
I'll get the ladies in, Steve. I'll get the ladies in. And, you know, update your social media bios. Just have my porch trim updated. UPVC. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Ladies.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope Paddy's all right, is he? Anyway, I'm going camping. I hope Paddy's all right in Croydon. He hasn't checked in. I'm a bit worried because in Croydon, you never know what could happen there. Really.
Anything could happen. Yeah. Okay. Well, when we get down to talking about porches, we probably should knock on that. Yeah.
I think we've run out of material.
I've already talked to this week, so I'm hungry, so I've had my tea, so maybe I'll be a bit more talkative next week. I'll be live next week anyway, won't it?
I thought you were quite talkative this week, Steve. Well, have you been eating, have you?
No, I've just finished work when you rang, so I've not had tea or anything. So I've got a pack of chicken fillets and a smoky, succulent barbecue Maggie's bag to put them in.
Maggie's bag?
Yeah.
I do not want to put my food in Maggie's bags. Ooh, I always thought that would be nice. Maggie's bag. All right, Steve, little Stevie comes round, puts his food in my bag.
I thought porch talk was the low point. Steve Trump's it.
Let's keep digging. We're getting further. We really are. We've taken out the bottom of the barrel, and there's an old rich vein below that. It was all Maggie's bag.
I bought the wrong one. I just realised I haven't bought the bag.
He's bought Malcolm's bags. He's bought Malcolm's bags.
What have you bought?
I bought paper instead.
The
ones you wrap in paper, then grill them. Oh, well, they'll taste just as nice, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah.
Steve, I have no idea what you're talking about. Awesome. Yeah. Enjoy that. Mm.
Yeah. I will do.
Put me in the bag.
So we're doing a live one next week, aren't we? And maybe promote that.
Yeah, we're doing a live one next week, everyone.
Yeah.
Are we doing that, are we? But you two have to social distance. We're not going to be social distance, Steve, in my sun house, what it's called, in my thing. We can't social distance there. We can't. Is that we've had a door, won't we?
Well, we can. I looked at this at the setup, and I just need to be on my own table away from you two.
Why don't we just put some plastic glass in between us?
Well, do you have some plastic glass to put between us?
No, really?
There we go. Well, let's just not spit on each other.
Can you add that in After Effects?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to lick you, so you'll be okay.
Yeah. It's fine.
It'll be a wide shot. I was just thinking about having a little complaint saying that we weren't social distancing.
Well, let them complain. Did you watch? Because we've done all tests before we come in. We'll say, we'll do the test, and then we'll say, do you have any symptoms? No, fine, that's fine. Here we are. Well, it's less than six of us. We're fine. Is there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, guys, have a nice weekend. Speak to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Is that your... Steve, is that your thing beeping, saying you're ready? Malky's
no, right. I just leant on my oven to time.
Okay.
Okay, that's the low point.
It doesn't get any more trivial, does it?
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.